Morning. Today's daf is daf Kuf Yud. Okay. Start the Mishnah. We're starting the Mishnah back on daf Kuf Tes Amud Aleph. Okay. Topic of today is a continuation of what we've been discussing now for the past couple of days. Started the 13th parak several days ago, and the issue that we've been discussing is the issur of shchut echutz amala b'chutz. They shech the carbon outside the base of mikdash yerchayv kares. It's a very serious one of the 36 issurim in the Torah where the Torah gives you punishment of kares. If you're mala b'chutz and if you offer the carbon outside the base of mikdash, so again it's the second issur where you're going to be chayv kares as well. The basic idea, which we'll be talking about over the course of today, is that it's only going to be chayev if it's something that should have been brought into in the Beis HaMikdash. The whole idea of Shchut Echutz and Halav Echutz is there's a Beis HaMikdash. You shouldn't be offering outside the Beis HaMikdash. But it has to be an item which could have been offered in the Beis HaMikdash. So if it's something that is not fit to have been brought into the Beis HaMikdash, so then there's not going to be a liability of Shchut Echutz or Halav Echutz. To what degree are we talking about when we say it's not fit to be brought into the Beis HaMikdash? So that obviously is subject to a lot of the details of the perek. Meaning we all know, well, look, once they take a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash anyway, the psul yotzei disqualifies with the yotzei, and yet the Torah says there's an issur called halav echutz. So clearly there is a certain level of tolerance, if you will, that even though the carbon becomes somewhat disqualified, it's still going to be a violation of the issur. So, okay, so that's one of the things that we've been discussing the past couple of days in terms of what degree of psul are we talking about. Not only do we talk about that, but we talk about shear as well. In other words, in order to be chayav, there has to be a certain amount, right? Well, like any issur in the Torah. The Torah says don't do it, but the Torah also gives us rules and regulations in terms of what's going to be the requisite shear. How much of it do I need to burn in order to be chayav? So yesterday we talked about bits and pieces of the carbon that came off the carbon itself, right? And machlokas, Rav Yochanan, machlokas, the Chachamim, and Rabbi Shimon, and a further machlokas on Maraim, exactly what that machlokas is regarding. Okay. We start now with the Mishnah. We're on the top of Kuf Tes Amud Aleph, and the Mishnah goes like this. Echad kachim ksherim, v'echad kachim psulim, sheyapsulam bakodesh, v'hikrivam b'chutz chayev. So the Mishnah tells us that the carbon could be kosher, the carbon could be pasul, as long as the psulim is bekodesh, as long as the disqualification took place in the azara, which means that if it would have gone on the mizbeach, shouldn't have gone on the mizbeach, but had it gone on the mizbeach would have tolerated it, right? It's using terminology that we used earlier in the Masech, it's lach moshel mizbeach. So if I take any one of those items and I offer it outside, chayev, so then I'm going to be chayev. Right? Rashi, it gives exactly this explanation. Rashi says, it's the first Rashi in the Mishnah, holu v'fnimim alu lo yardu. Since if you would have brought it inside, since even though it becomes disqualified, had you brought it up onto the mizbech, im alu lo yardu, you don't bring it down, so miskaba b'fnim karina bay. So therefore, it is considered as if it would have been received inside. Once something has got to that point in time where it could be received inside, offering outside is a violation. The Gemara is going to teach us how we get to this halacha. If you bring up a kezias of ola or imurim, so you're going to be chayev. Right? Ola and imurim, Rashi, Hamalak zayt men ola v'imurim, chatzi zayt mizeh v'chatzi zayt mizeh chayev, dekulu kalil. Look, when it comes to the carbon ola, the whole thing is burnt. So we're never going to segregate parts of a carbon ola, meaning the meat of the ola, the imurim, the insides of the ola, the organs, the fats, all those are considered one entity, one whole object, and so therefore it's all going to be mitzarfe, all will combine. I only need to bring up a kezias of it. Let's just leave it at that. And so therefore, if I have a half a kezias of me and a half a kezias of imurim, it will be mitzvah if it will combine. Tanur Rabbanan, we start with the Gemara, and the Gemara quotes a brisa. And the brisa is going to do exactly what Rashi said it's going to do. It's going to give us a source for all these halachas. Asher yala ola o zevach. Look, when the Torah describes offering a carbon outside, the Torah says, Ola o Zevach. Ola is referring to a carbon ola, and Zevach is usually a reference to Karmen Shlomen. Ein li ala ola minan l'rabbos imuri ashem v'imuri chatzit v'imuri kardush kadashim v'imuri kachim kalam. How about other things? Meaning the imurim of an asham, a chatas, imurim of kachay kachim, and the imurim of kachim kalam. How about all that? So Tamar lomar Zevach. Zevach is an inclusive term. It's a generic term. It refers to all karbanos. Minayin l'rabbos hakamos v'alavon v'aktor v'aminchas kohanim u'minchas kohen Mashiach v'aminaseh shlosh shalugim yayin u'shlosh shalugim mayim. Okay, how about other things? How about things that are non-animals? Things that are non-animals that are offered up on the Mizbeach. And let's just quickly run through this list. Number one is the kemitza. Kemitza is when I take a mincha offering and I take a fistful of the mincha offering, that's a kometz, which goes up onto the Mizbeach. Lavona is frankincense. Now Lavona is offered together with a mincha. Lavona also happens to be with the lechem upon him as well, but together with most of the menachos, it has on top of it a layer of Lavona. That Lavona is burnt on the Mizbeach. Ketores is incense. Every day incense is burned in the Beis HaMikdash. It's actually burnt not on the outer Mizbeach, it's burned on the inner Mizbeach. The Ketores is prepared at the beginning of the year. They make enough to last the whole year. And every day they would offer a mana. I don't know how that translates into our volumes, but they would offer a mana of the Ketores, half of it in the morning and half of it in the afternoon. Minchas Kohanim is a mincha offered by a Kohen, as opposed to a mincha offered by a non-Kohen, where only a fistful of it goes up onto the Mizbeach. Mincha offered by Kohanim, the whole mincha is offered up on the Mizbeach. Pasuk says, Kulo Taktar, the whole thing is burnt on the Mizbeach. Mincha is called Mashiach Kohen Gadol, brings a mincha every day. Right? We call it, the terminology we use is Minchas Chavitin. Okay? That's offered up on the Beis HaMikdash every day. So all these, let's finish off the list. Menasech Shlosh Alugin Yayin, right, doing Nisach with 3 log of wine, or 3 log of water. When is water offered up on the Beis HaMikdash? Sukkos, all 7 days of Sukkos. So we have the special mitzvah of Nisach HaMayim, not mentioned in the Torah. Torah doesn't breathe a word about the Nisach HaMayim. Halach LaMoshe MiSinai, one of the traditions that we have received from HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly to Moshe, is the mitzvah of Nisach HaMayim. So that for the 7 days of Sukkot, they pour water down the southwest corner of the Mizbech, a pipe on the top of the southwest corner that they pour it down to. It's right next to the pipe where they pour down the wine. Okay? So all these things are offered up on the Mizbech. Every one of the items mentioned in this list are non-animal items. Okay, mineral or water, but non-animal items. So, if I take any one of these items and offer it outside the Beis HaMikdash, Tam Lamar, because really, before we go on, the Torah says, Ola O Zevach. Ola O Zevach, either one of them is an animal. How do I know that it refers to non-animal items? Ve'al Pesach O'amoed, Lo Yivienu, Kol Habal Pesach O'amoed, Chayavan La B'chutz. Anything that should go into Pesach O'amoed. Anything offered up onto the Mizbeach, including every one of the items we just listed, which are non-animal items. The Ein Le'ela Kashim Ksherim. Good. So far, all I got now to speak for is karbanos which are fit. How about Minayin L'Rabbos Psulim? How about animals which are disqualified? And here we get to go again over all of our disqualifications. Kigon. Halan, we talk about an animal that experienced lina, left overnight. Hayotze, animals that were taken out of the Azara. Hatame, animals that became Tame. Ushin Ishchat, Chutzos, Manav, Chutzim, Kamo. Or, when Shechted, received an improper intent of either outside correct place. Ushikiblu Psulim, Vizarko is Damo. Or, Nan Kohanim did the Avoda of either Kabbalah Sadam or sprinkling the blood. Vahanitan Lamata, Shanasa Lamala, Vahanitan Lamala, Shanasa Lamata. Or improper location of the blood. Blood of most karbanos go below the chuta sikra, below the red line, which divides a midpoint, the upper half and the lower half of the mizbeach. Only the blood of a karban chatas goes above the chuta sikra. If the blood was placed in the wrong location, or wrong mizbeach. Most karbanos are sprinkled on the outer mizbeach. Some karbanos are sprinkled on the inner mizbeach. If they get crossed, or the carbon pesach and the carbon chatas, which are shechted, I know the Mishnah, the Gemara says shenasnan, that was shechted shelo lishman with improper intent. First Mishnah of our Masechta that talked about that. These are all disqualified karbanos. Minayin. How do I know? Any one of these which are disqualified, any one of these which are offered outside the Beit HaMikdash, you're subject to the Isser of Halav Echutz, Tamar Lomar Lo Yivein Elasos, Kol HaMizkalba BePesach HaMoed, Chayavin Halav Echutz. Anything which would be accepted, meaning they're accepted. Now, again, we'll just make the point, but make sure it's clear. They are disqualified. Accepted means that if they went up onto the Mizbeach, you keep it on the Mizbeach. That's an indication that it has Kedusha, it has sanctity. So, if I take that carbon and I offer it outside the Beit HaMikdash, so the full violation of the Isser of Halav B'chutz. Okay, good, very straightforward. Hamala Kezayis Mena Ola, if you offer up a Kezayis of the Ola, Ola V'imurea, In Shlamin V'imurem Lo. Okay, in our Mishnah we talked about combining. So when it comes to a carbon Ola, so that's easy. I mean, what are we going to do? We're going to combine meat and the imurim of an ola. The Mishnah says very simply, because it's all offered anyway on the Mizbeach, so of course they're going to combine. Meat and the imurim of a shlamim will not combine in order to get you to the isser of halav b'chutz, in order to get to the shear of a kezayis. And the reason why is because the meat is not offered up on the Mizbeach. The meat of a carbon shlamim is eaten by people. Okay? So halav b'chutz only includes, it only covers those things which would have gone, should have gone on the Mizbeach inside. So since the meat of a shlamim doesn't go up onto the Mizbeach, so it can't be used to combine for your for the ola. I'm sorry, for the isser of halav b'chutz. Tanin lahatatan rabban. In fact, we're going to quote a brisa. Brisa makes exactly this point. Ola v'imurim itstafen l'chazayis, the ola and the imurim combine in order to give you kezayis. La lo sam b'chutz ulechayel la mishem pigel nos v'tame. And also, in order to get you to pigel nos and tame, it gets you there. Okay. Bishlam ha'ala ola dekalo in shlamim lo. So the Gemara says, look, in terms of the isser of halav b'chutz, so that makes a lot of sense. Because, as we just explained, the meat and the insides of a carbon ola are offered on the Mizbeach. So of course, if I take half a kezayis of meat and half a kezayis of the innards, so they're going to combine. That part we understand. And we also understand how by shlamim that's not going to work. Because by shlamim, the meat is not offered up onto the Mizbeach. So there's no isser of halav b'chutz by the meat. That part I get as well. Ela pigel nos v'tameh. But here's the part that's confusing. Because the Brice also says that when it comes to pigel nos and tameh, they don't combine. But we know that's not true. We know they do. My time, that's none. We'll go back to a Mishnah. We saw this Mishnah. Kol ha-pigulim mitzarfin v'chol ha-nosar mitzarfin. When it comes to the Isser of pigel and when it comes to the Isser of nosar, there is an idea of tziruf. There is combination. I could take a half a kezayis of one carbon, a half a kezayis of another carbon, and combine it in the world of pigel. I could do that also in the world of nosar to get me to the requisite shear of the kezayis. So how do you understand, and that's true by all karbanos, even by shlamim as well. So how did you understand the brisa? The brisa says that when it comes to an ola, they're mitzarif. And when it comes to an ola, they're mitzarif for pigel nosar and tameh, which makes it sound like when it comes to shlamim, they're not mitzarif. And meanwhile, the Mishnah over here says, that's not true, they are mitzarif. So the Gemara says like this, kasha pigel pigel, kasha nosar nosar. So really there are two questions over here to be asked. One about the Isser of Pigel, and the other one's about the Isser of Nosar. So we'll go and answer each question. Pigel or Pigel or Kasha, Kambe Pigel, Kambe Machsheves Pigel. Okay. When we talk about Pigel, there are two aspects of Pigel. Number one, the creation of Pigel. Number two, eating Pigel. Okay. This takes us back to the beginning of the Masechta. Let's make sure that we're all together on this. How do I make Pigel? So I say, while I shech the carbon, I'm going to eat the carbon or offer the carbon chutz lizmano, outside of its prescribed time. Right? It's interesting. We have made this point already a number of times. For making pigel, that's not isser kares. Okay? It's a bad thing. It's a bad thing, obviously. but it's not an Issur Karis. The Issur Karis is only for eating pigul. Once you have now a carbon which has been made pigul, so now if I eat it, I'm going to be chayiv. So the Gemara says now, beautifully, right? It's really the answer. That's the difference between one Mishnah and the next Mishnah. One Mishnah that talks about shlamim combining, that's talking about eating pigul. When the other Mishnah is talking about not combining, that's talking about making pigul. Look at Rashi. Rashi's the first wide line on the page. Kam bepigul, kam bemachshavas pigul. Hadiktani mitzarfin. When do we say they combine? Be'ochel pigul kamar. That means eating pigul. Right. Now, when we're talking about combining, why? Meaning, to what end are we talking about combining? So, Rashi's nice. Rashi, we could be talking simply about the Issur of Kares, but, okay, let's assume the person didn't know, so he's a shogeg. So, when do I bring a carbon chatas for eating pigul? When I eat a kezias of it. So, ulis chayev chatas, vahadik tani, ola inshlamim, I'm sorry. And that's where, let's pause over there at that point in Rashi. And that's where they do combine. So meaning that if I eat shlamim and I eat a chatzi kezayis from one and a chatzi kezayis from another, so I'm going to now be chayiv to bring a karmel chatas. Because when you get to pigul, not creating pigul, but when you have it and are eating it, so then there's a concept of it starfish, they combine. V'hadiktani ola in shlamim lo. Now, when do we say that pigul doesn't combine? That's talking about creating pigul. B'machshavas pigul she'im shachar ozarek al manas lahakfir. And let's say like this. Now remember, when you create pigul, you have to have in mind, and let's assume you're articulating, when I shech the carbon, I'm going to consume, right, I'll use that word carefully, I'm going to consume, it has to be a full kezias of some of the carbon, chutz l'zmano, after the prescribed time. Okay, now, there are, if we're talking about a shlamim, there are two parts of the shlamim. Two consumers of the shlamim. Me and the mizbeach. Okay. So now, here's what doesn't combine. If I say, let's go back to Rashi. She'im shachar ozarek amanas lahaktir chatzi zayis basar ola v'chatzi zayis mi'imurim chutzos mano pigul. When it comes to the ola, so if I think about, and I say, half a kezias of the meat, half a kezias of the imurim, they're going to combine. And of course they're going to combine. Because that's the same consumer. That's the mizbeach. Ava b'shlamim, chishev le'echol ola hakter chatzi zayis basar, v'chatzi zayis imurim, lo pigol. She'im achsheva sachila b'niktarim v'ein machsheva haktara b'ne'echalim. There, I'm not combining two consumers. I'm sorry, the two separate consumers. One is the mizbeach and one is me. And those two don't combine. Okay, so when it comes to the steer or the contradiction between pigul and pigul, that's fine. Meaning when you're talking about eating pigul, once it's already been made, so they combine. You can take a chatzi zayis, and combine the two, or they could be mitzaref. When it comes to making pigul, so I have to keep everything separate. I have to either have a full kezias of imurim or a full kezias of basar, but I can't combine the two because there are two different consumers. Okay, now we go back to Nosar, back to the Gemara. So and the Nosar, 4 lines from the bottom of the page. Lo kasha kama Nosar kama shini tochru ashelo nizrak adam. And over here, we'll say like this: there's no contradiction by Nosar as well. If it was made into Nosar, meaning the meat was left over, the meat was not offered up onto the mizbeach, and now the meat has been subject to become nosar, so then, for sure they're going to combine. I'll eat a chatzi kezayis of this and a chatzi kezayis of that, and I violate the isser of achilas nosar, eating nosar. Eating nosar is an isser kares, if done intentionally. If done unintentionally, you have to bring carbon chatas. Okay. When does it not combine? Okay. Not regarding nosar, but regarding being able to sprinkle the blood. All right. We've discussed this not that many days ago. In order to sprinkle the blood of a carbon, there has to be some carbon. Meaning, if I don't have carbon, I don't sprinkle the blood. Okay. Some of the carbon has to be left over. How much of the carbon needs to be left over in order for me to sprinkle the blood? Kezias. Okay. What if by carbon ola...
You mean left over in terms of after it was eaten?
No. Meaning, I shechted the animal, and then somebody took the animal outside the Beis HaMikdash by mistake.
Oh,
or somebody was metame the animal by mistake.
Yeah.
Or, right? And let's say most of the animal was taken out, but some of the animal was left in. Or some of the animal remains tavor. Okay. So how much carbon, how much meat of the animal or imurim need to be there in order for me to sprinkle the blood? Sprinkling the blood is a matir. It permits the carbon. I need carbon. So if I don't have the whole carbon there, I need a fraction of the carbon. How much do I need? So that's a kezias. So now the Gemara says like this. When we say I need a kezias in order to sprinkle the blood, that's where in the world of Ola, I could use the idea of hitzdarfus. In the world of Shlamim, I can't. What's the difference? Again, it's the same basic difference. Because by Ola, it's all going up on the Mizbech anyway. So if I have a chatzi kezias of Basar and a chatzi kezias of Imurim, of course they're going to combine. Same destination. It's going up onto the Mizbech. By Shlamim, they don't combine. Okay, let's see it inside. The Gemara is going to spell this out. Lokasha kamenosa kamishini tocha ashal and Israq adam. Umani Rabbi Yoshua. And we're going to subscribe to the view of Rabbi Yoshua. The Tanya Lenten Abraith, Rabbi Yoshua Omer. Kozvachim Shabbatosh Shinishtarabem Kazayas. Ubasar Kazayas Chelev Zorek Es Hadam. So if you have a kezias left over, so then you can do zrika. Chatzi zayis basar v'chatzi zayis chelav. But what if I only have half? Half a kezias of meat and half a kezias of chelav. Eino zorek es adam. I don't sprinkle the blood. Okay? What do you mean? I have a full kezias. No, you don't. Half a kezias of something going on the mizbeach and half a kezias of something which is consumed don't combine. And so fine, so you can't sprinkle. Uva ola, contrast that to a carbon ola. Chatzizayis basav, chatzizayis chelev, zarekas adam, imne shekulo kalo. Okay, and that's all going up onto the mizbech, so they do combine. Okay. Umincha, one more. And when it comes to a mincha, that's a little bit weird. Right, mincha doesn't have blood.
Right.
Umincha filu kulo kayemes lo yizrok. Even if the whole mincha remains, don't sprinkle the blood. Okay. That last part of that statement of Rabbi Yoshua is weird. Right? May I say that? It's a little bit weird. There's no blood by carbon mincha. Minchas don't bleed. It's a flower offering. So the Gemara right away immediately reacts, mincha maya vidate. What are you talking about? So the Gemara says, Amar Papa, mincha sesachim abay hazevach. Mincha over here is referring to mincha sesachim. It's talking to the libations. In other words, you lost the whole carbon. It's gone. Somebody took it out before you were able to sprinkle the blood. Oh, but we have the nesachim. I still got the wine. I still got the oil. So how about this? You know, just for good old times. How about we sprinkle the blood over the oil and over the wine? I hope everyone, people understand me, not literally over the oil, meaning on behalf of the oil, on behalf of the wine, right? Maybe that's considered a matir. And the Gemara says, no, that's Rabbi Yoshua's point. Even if you have all of it, it's just an accessory, that's all it is. It's not the carbon. In order to sprinkle the blood, I need carbon. This is not carbon, and so therefore it's no good.
What about the case where they brought the Nesachim by itself as an offering. Remember we discussed that before?
Yeah, but then you're not sprinkling blood.
There's no blood with it.
Yeah, so fine. There's no matzah.
Right, so you sprinkle it.
There is a question we had earlier, right. Do I do a kamitza of that oil?
Right.
There is that discussion, but not, there's no blood discussion.
Is there any way to do something with the shogeg, rather than bringing the chatos, which is a completely different carbon, to bring the carbon that you fouled up again?
Well, you're going to end up, in other words, in all these situations, you're going to have to end up bringing the carbon again. Carbon is not, it could not be brought. Okay? That was very straightforward. After a couple of days of difficult Gemara, that sugya is a very straightforward sugya. Right? The point being very simply that in order to be chayav on halav b'chutz, on offering carbon outside, it has to be kezias, even if it's a kezias of disqualified carbon, that's also going to give you a liability of halav b'chutz, and even if it's a non-animal. As long as it's something which is fit to have been brought on the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash, and you brought it outside, so you're in violation of halav b'chutz. Next Mishnah. Hakomis v'alavon v'akhtoros v'minchas kohanim v'minchas kohen Mashiach v'minchas nesachim sheyikriv me'achas mehem kezayas b'chutz chayav. Okay, so now, on a list of non-animal items, the kemitza, the lavona, now, just say to yourself, didn't we just discuss this? Not in the Mishnayos. Right? In other words, separate your Mishnayos and your Braisos. Yes, we discussed all those things, but only in a Braisa that the Gemara quoted. In the Mishnah itself, we've only discussed animals. So now, in the world of Mishnayos, right, keep everything organized, in the world of Mishnayos, now we move on to the non-animal items. So, Kometz, the Lavona, we just went through every one of these, so I'm just going to read. Haktaras, Menchas Kohanim, Menchas Kohen Mashiach, Menchas Nesachim, Shehikri Me'achas Mem Kezayis. So the Mishnah says, if I offer up a Kezayis of it, B'chutz, I'm going to be Chayiv, you're going to be Chayiv. Fine, so much like by a carbon, all you need is a Kezayis. By all these items, all you need is a Kezayis of these items as well. Rav Elazar Poter, Ashi Yakrev is Kulam. And Rav Elazar disagrees. Rav Elazar is of the opinion that you need all of it. Okay, now, Rashi over here discusses the following. Look at the first Rashi on the Mishnah. No, not the first one. The second Rashi on the Mishnah, Ketoros. Right, Ketoros Rashi writes, Shebechol yom prashal shachris, or prashal bein arabayim, sheikter, kezayis mehem b'chutz chayev. Kasavar, okay. Now, Rashi's explaining. According to the Tanakhama, I don't have to offer the entire Ketoros. By the incense, as I explained earlier this morning, when it comes to incense, so you offer a mana, a full mana, which is a lot. Again, I don't know how it translates, but it's more than one kezais. It's a lot of kezaisim. We divide it daily. Half of it is offered in the morning, and half of it's offered in the afternoon. Now, according to the Tanakhama, even if I take a kezais of ketores and offer it outside, I'm going to be chayev. Now, kiksiv osel, Rashi goes on to explain. Kasavar, what is the chachamim hold? Kiksiv osel, shalom uchayv, and uchayv alachaser, ashir haktaruksiv, vahainu kezayis. Okay? It's going on a sheer, it's going on a requisite amount, and a requisite amount is the kezayis. Rav Elazanami, malo palagaresha, gabi ola, hachinami darish leoso, ashir haktara, kirabanan. So now, Rav Elazar, we didn't see him in the first Mishnah today. Right? On Kuftes Amad Aleph, when it comes to animals, Rav Elazar didn't breathe a word. Right? Sounds like Rav Elazar agrees when it comes to animals that all you need is the kezayis of the animal. And Rashi says, yeah, correct. All you need is the kezayis of the animal. Because that's the shear. So you see, Rashi explains beautifully. You see, because when it comes to an animal, the meat is a residual. Meaning, when it comes to an animal, what is the mizbeach looking for the most? Right, the blood. I know I'm giving a life form to the mizbeach, if you will. But you know, if we could just imagine, right, what is the most important part of a carbon, an animal? The zrikas adam. It's the sprinkling of the blood. The meat of a carbon is the residual. It's a mitzvah, but it's really the blood which is everything. So when it comes to the meat, which is just a residual, so all you need is a shear, and a shear is the kezayis. Ava bahani palik. But on all these cases that we're learning on our Mishnah, on Kuftes Amud Beis, so now Rav Elazar is going to open his mouth. Now he's going to argue. Why? Because now we're talking about items that are actually burnt on the Mizbeach, not through a matir, these items are actually burnt on the Mizbeach. So therefore, according to Rav Elazar, it needs to be the whole item, the entire item. Hainu shir haktaraso af bifnim, teham mifsa b'chisaron, v'chein kulam, shekulam matirim heim. With all these items that we're talking about, they are the matir. They are the main part of its offering. Let's say it's balami dechavasam. Now ula rabbanan. So now we've explained Rav Elazar beautifully. Why Rav Elazar doesn't argue in the previous Mishnah, and why in this Mishnah he argues. Now ula rabbanan bahani nami havi haktarasam bechazayis heichad dekula kaim velo chasu konam haktaraso utanam menachus hikter komsa pamim kshira hilkach haktarahi. The chachamim feel no that even a kezayis is considered a shear of ketores. Okay, so good. So what Rashi's done for us very well is explain why in the previous Mishnah Rav Elazar doesn't argue, and in this Mishnah Rav Elazar does argue. Okay, Let's go back to the Mishnah. Let's finish up the Mishnah. So, Kedais Bechutz Chayv Rav Elazar Porta Asher Yakriv Et Kulam. The Kulam, Shehikriv Bifnim. Now, in all these cases, if I was Makriv, Vishir Mehem Kedais, Vihikriv Bechutz Chayv. If let's say I did most of it inside, but I leave over Kedais, and I take that Kedais, and I offer it outside, I'm going to be Chayv. What's the Chiddush of the Mishnah?
Is this right,
Elazar? That's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. Even according to Rabbi Lazar, Rashi says, "Chayiv sharei bezed nigmar haktarasan ulaRabbi Lazar nami ki darisho so ashir haktara darish le v'shir haktara bechazayit heched debefnim havi haktara gemura." Because look, because inside this kazayit would have represented everything. So okay, so if I take that and I bring that outside, so I'm going to be chayiv as well. V'kulan shechasu kolshu v'kriivam bechutz pater. Okay, and now in all these cases, if I took off a little bit. Meaning, it becomes deficient. I take right. I'm choser, and I bring it and I offer it outside. So I'm going to be potter. And Rashi points out this is even according to the Chachamim. Okay, hamakriv kachim v'imurim b'chutz chayv. And the last line of the Mishnah, which we'll explain later this morning, if I'm makriv kachim and imurim outside, I'm going to be chayv. Of course. Yeah. Right? And for those of you who've been learning the Gemara long enough to know, you realize what's the catch? Of course. What's the point the Mishnah's making over there? The Gemara later on will discuss that as well. Tanu Rabbanan. Hamakter kezayis b'chutz, chayv. Chasi pras b'fnim, pater. So we have a brisa over here. The brisa says that if I offer kezayis outside, I'm going to be chayv. Okay, that's fine. I mean, that's chakamim. And then the brisa says that if I offer half a pras inside, I'm going to be pater. Okay, what's that talking about? What's the second half of that brisa talking about?
What happened to the other?
Right, in other words, as I mentioned, daily you have to bring a full mana. Pras is just simply a half a mana. So if I offer half a pras inside, I'm going to be pater. Now, so the Gemara helps us along over here. My pater zar. So maybe over here the p'tur is going on a non-kohen. Non-kohanim, who do the avoda, or chayv misa bidei shamayim. Okay. So maybe what the second half of the brisa means, it's kind of shifting. It's shifting to a totally new issue. If a non-kohen goes into the Beis HaMikdash and offers only half a mana of ketores, he's going to be exempt. He shouldn't do it at all, but... it's not a full shear, and therefore it doesn't have a full liability.
Half a month brought twice a day, so half a month is like half a day of recording.
So the Gemara is about to ask now, am I? Haktari. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. If that's what the Bryce is talking about, so why does he get a p'tur? Why is he getting excused? He shouldn't get excused. That is Haktara. That's burning. So Amrav Zera, Amrav Chista, Amrav Yirmi, Abarab, Amarav, my pater, pater tzibor. Oh. So okay, so... Gemara says, scratch it. Okay, that's not the right shot in the brisa. Correct. If a non-kohen were to offer half a mana, a pras, he would be chayiv. So p'tur means, you know what the excused goes on? The community is excused. What?
That's what they offer.
Meaning that you fulfilled your obligation. You're a yotze yidei chavaso, right? That even though you didn't offer the full mana, but still... That's enough.
Even though it was offered by a czar?
No. Give that pshat up. In other words, this is a totally new pshat in the brisa.
So if a kohen only offered half a money.
Even if the kohen only offered half of it, and that's it. Meaning not over the course of the whole day, only half. So then the tzibur gets an excuse. The mitzvah is to do a full money. But a half a money would be enough.
Much less than a mana.
This is not kamitza. This is talking about offering of the incense. This hamaktir. This is not talking about it's not a mincha offering. It's just
communal.
Is something that comes with the
tabit? No. This is a daily incense. Ketores is offered every day in the Beis HaMikdash. Beginning of the year, it's a Mishnah. Beginning of the year, they prepare 365 manas of 368. Okay, I'm corrected, and it's a correct correction. 368 manas of Ketores, of which I know we work with a lunar year, but just work with me with the numbers, of which 365 are offered every day, half in the morning, half in the afternoon. It's part of the daily avodah. And then with the last three manas, that's for Yom Kippur. While Yom Kippur, they would take that keteres, they would grind it up and grind it up well. And then the Kohen Gadol would take his two fistfuls, and by the way, this is coming up later today, take his two handfuls, put it into that three mana. Obviously, there's plenty of plenty for his two handfuls. Pick it up, and he would go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with those two handfuls. Okay. What the Braisa just told us is that if you only offer over the course of a day half of a mana, you're excused. You're putter. So we originally thought, what's it talking about? Who's putter? What's going on? So the first pshat is, well, if a non-Kohen offers it, he won't get zapped. He won't get a liability. But the Gemara says, but that's not even true. He would get, because that is considered an offering. So the Gemara says, fine, you're right. The patur over here means a totally different patur. Patur means the community is excused. Meaning that the tzibur fulfilled its obligation of offering keteres, even though it's half of what normally is brought on over the course of a day.
So it becomes part of the kapara?
It's not a kapara. No. This is talking about the daily offering. This is just simply the community responsibility to bring. Community has a responsibility every day to bring a tumen in the morning, a tumen in the afternoon. The community also has a responsibility to bring half a mana of keteres in the morning, half a mana in the afternoon. It's an obligation on the community. Yes, that's correct. Okay, so now, so the Gemara says, fine. So I'm Rav Zeri Kashli Ha Kashli Ha Dama Rav Alabaha. I feel Rav Elazar Moda. Daha Rav Elazar Lav Akhtari Hi Kamar. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what's confusing. Fine, we have a Pshat in the Braisa. That's fine. Well, the point of confusion where I'm confused is that Rav says about it, I feel Rebbe Lazar Moda, that even Rebbe Lazar, meaning the one in our Mishnah, the one that we talked about, who says that in order to be Chaya, you need to offer all of it, even Rebbe Lazar is going to be Moda, to what we just learned in this Braisa, that if you're Makter Kezayis B'chutz, you're going to be Chaya. So Amarava Ba'akhtar Dehechal Dekule Amalo Pligi. So the Gemara says like this. Look, Rava says, when it comes to the haktara of the Hechal, everyone agrees that all you need is a Kazayas. Everybody agrees to that, meaning in our Mishnah. I know it didn't seem that way in the Mishnah, but Rava says that when it comes to haktara, the offering of incense, everyone agrees all you need is a Kazayas in order to be Chayev. So good. So keep Pligi. So what's the Machlokas? Meaning, if you go back to our mission, you'll see very clearly there's some debate taking place between the Chachamim and Rebbe Lazar. Bahaktara dipnim, we're talking about the Haktara inside. Haktara inside, what are we talking about? The Haktara of Yom Kippur. Okay, as I just finished describing, the three extra mana that are the surplus of every year. Okay, usually there's more than three extra mana surplus every year, because this lunar year only has 354 days. Not for now, but with that three extra mana, so the Kohen Gadol would use it in order to burn that in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Gemara says that's where there is a machlokas. Mar Savra Malocha Chafnav Davka, Umar Savra Malocha Chafnav Lav Davka. And the Gemara suggests over here that the debate between the Chacham and Rav Elazar is that when the Torah says Malocha Chafnav, I know you usually translate that as, right, is full, two handfuls. Two handfuls of keteres. I know that's how you translate it, and that's what I would do also. And the Gemara is now suggesting that the machlokas between the Chacham and Rav Elazar is maybe the Torah didn't mean exactly two handfuls. I mean, I don't know. Right?
Would he be saying that if it didn't add up to whole money, it's not yosei?
Not mana. No. In other words, the Gemara is saying that's not the machlokas anymore. What Rav is now offering is that the whole machlokas in the Mishnah is only about the incense offered on Yom Kippur. And the Chachamim's position is that I don't need the full handful, the two handfuls. Even if I took that and just took a kezayis of it and burnt it outside, I'm chayev on halah b'chutz. And according to Rav Elazar, no, it has to be the two handfuls. No,
but what does he say? There has to be two handfuls that adds up to whole money, or just
no? No, not money anymore.
Whatever the service
not money. It has to do with the avodah of Yom Kippur.
not a shear because it's been in the size of the stone's hand.
Well, that's one point, and the Gemara now is going to make.
And that's paradox because you do more in Yom Kippur, so if you need less to be high.
The Gemara is going to. Yeah, I'll tell you what. If it's okay, we're not going to discuss it because the Gemara out of hand rejects it. Meaning the whole what the Gemara has just entertained is the idea that in Yom Kippur, when the Torah says Melo Chafnav, it means about. The Torah wasn't that specific.
Because it's really much more.
Aside from that, Amalei Abaye, Vahaki Ksiva Chuka Bahaktar De Pnimu Diksiv, Abaye says, I don't understand. You're entertaining the idea that when the Torah on Yom Kippur says Melo Chafnav, we know, you know, so according to the Chachamim, it doesn't really mean Melo Chafnav. It means, Abaye says, what are you talking about? The Torah is clear, couldn't be any clearer than on Yom Kippur, there is a shear. And the shear is Melo Chafnav. Now granted, right, as Ben just pointed out, right, depending on which Kohen Gadol we're talking about, but still, if there is a shear, and you now want to tell me that there's a debate between the Chachamim and Rebbe Lazar that only on Yom Kippur with the shear of Melo Chafnav where the Chachamim say that to violate Halah B'chutz, it doesn't have to be all of it, just some of it would be fine. That can't be, Abai says it can't possibly be. The Torah is very clear about Melo Chafnav. The Torah reinforces it with the words Chukah, which means that's it, that is the shear. So it can't possibly be.
Don't we hold
to your halacha l'moshe m'sinai?
So
that
must be
the shear is halacha l'moshe m'sinai. What the Gemara's pointing out is that's ma'akev, meaning it's just a shear. It's a, you need that shear. Without that shear, you didn't do the mitzvah. So now by halah b'chutz, remember the fundamental principle of halah b'chutz is that it has to be something and an amount which is would have been required inside. So over here on Yom Kippur, the Torah couldn't be any clearer that you need Melo Chafnav inside. So there can't possibly be, this is Abaye's point, there can't possibly be a debate that if I take that and only some of that and offer it outside, I'm Chayv on Halah B'chutz. No. The shear is clear. I need to take all of it and offer it outside. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara Abaye says just the opposite. If you're talking about the instance of Yom Kippur, there's no debate. When do I violate the Isser of Halah B'chutz? Only if the Kohen Gadol were to take the full two handfuls and offer it outside. Period. That's easy. And the only thing now left for discussion is the Haktara that's done outside. Outside over here, but of course, is relative, meaning the heichal, right, in the actual Beis Hamikdash, the daily instance offering. Marsava yafinan pnim mechutz, or marsava lo yafinan. And the Gemara says, and the issue is over here, is that, look, by pnim, everybody agrees, it has to be a full shear. By the chutz haktara, by the heichal haktara, do we learn it out from the pnim? That the Gemara, so this is Abaye's understanding of the debate. Amar Rava. So now we're back to Rava. Hashta chutz mechutz lo yafi rabban and pnim mechutz mibaye. So Rava says, I have a hard time with that. Meaning that you're telling me that the whole limud and the whole debate of the Chacham and Rava Lazar is do we learn out the outer ketores from the inner ketores? Even according to the Chachamim, they don't learn from one outer avoda to another outer avoda. And you want to argue and tell me that they're learning from an outer avoda, from an inner avoda to an outer avoda? Now the Gemara is further clarifies what Rav is even asking. Mahi, or what is Rav asking? The Tanya will learn from the Brisa. Yachol hamala b'pachos mechazayitz kometz, u'pachos mechazayitz imurim, v'hamenasech pachos mishlosha lugin yayin, migimol lugin mayin, pachos migimol lugin yayin, mayim yechayev. I might have thought that if I take less than a shear of any one of the things that we just mentioned, the kemitza, the imurim, the insides of an animal, or less than three lugin of wine, three lugin of water, yechayev, I might think I'd be chayev on the isser of halab b'chutz, tamalamar la'asos, la'asos oso. We want to add that word in?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. La so. Ala shalom chayv eno chayv ala chaser. Once again, you need an amount. You need it, an entirety of it. Now, the Gemara goes on to explain. Look, what are we talking about? One of the things we're talking about is three lukin of wine, three lukin of water. Now, I'm not great with my shiurim, okay? And I don't know my shiurim as well as I should, but I do know this. Hapachus mishosh lugin de isbu kamazesim, three lugin. So let's say I drop it down to two lugin. Okay, it still has a kazais in it. V'lo yalfi rabban chutz mechutz. And meanwhile, the chachamim don't learn one avoda from another avoda. Meaning, in the world of carbon, how much carbon do I need to bring? A kazayas. In the world of nisuch, so how much water do I need to bring? Three lugin. Well, what do you mean? Even if I have two. Those two have a kazayas contained therein. So the chachamim are not prepared to learn out one shear to another shear. So Rava's argument to Abai is, if the chachamim aren't ready to learn from here to here, which is one outer activity to another outer activity, they're not going to learn here to here, an inner activity to an outer activity. They don't translate. It doesn't go from one to the other. So Ela Marava Kagon, de Kavinu Shnei Chatzei Pras B'Manem. So really now, we're almost back at square one. Meaning, where's the machlokus between the Chachamim and Rav Elazar? When do they argue? Okay, so Rabbi would like to suggest the following. Okay, maybe we're talking about a case where I combined two chatzei pras, two half prases, in one mana in one utensil. Marsav kvius mana milsihi, or marsav la milsihi. Maybe their argument, which really turns into an entirely different issue, has nothing to do with actual shear, but it has to do with when I put something into a kli, does the kli combine them and make it one unified whole? Okay, marsavar lav milsihi, or sorry, marsavar kviyas mana milsihi, or marsavar lav milsihi. Amar Rava, so Rava says, hashta.
What are these two from?
In other words, we went to the storehouse, and we just took half a mana and half a mana, and we combined the two together.
Separately per day?
Yeah.
I would have thought it's all one thing. So what do you?
You have to gather it up. It's in a big pot. We learned that.
It was. I don't know. My assumption going in is that it was stored all together,
yes.
And then they just.
What's the point of the kli?
So the Gemara is saying that the kli. The Gemara is assuming the kli is going to mimic star. If the kli will combine it.
But it was combined before.
No. In other words, I assume, and I could be wrong about my assumption, is that it was all stored in like one storehouse. And then just every day they just went in and they took how much they needed for that day.
So
you put in the kli now. So now you put in the kli and you're putting in two half shiurim. So does the kli combine them to make it one large shiur? Meaning now if I take that and I offer it outside and I only offer half of it, but did the kli unify? So the Gemara says that's...
One's from one day, one's from another.
I don't know. I'm not sure about that.
And just the Gemara the bottom of the last time, we normally talk about liquids, about kazayas of liquid.
We normally don't. In other words, kazayas is usually a dry measurement.
Right.
But
Dom, when you're
high, correct. We're going to come back to that. That point that the Gemara made. We don't learn chutz from chutz, so therefore we're not going to learn chutz from pnim. The Gemara is going to come back to that a little bit later on, and the Gemara is going to challenge that. Okay, so that part will help a little bit. So we're on the top now of Kuf Yud. Let's just finish up. So Amar Rava Hashlaman Damar Kviyos Daman Lav Klumu Kavashisha Laparo Mashach Mehem Arba V'Krivam B'Chutz Chayav. So now, Rava is just taking this principle that we just learned that once you put something into a kli, the kli unifies it. It makes it into an entity, into a single entity. So, for example, if I take shisha, six lugin, which is the amount I need for a bowl, and I put it into a kli, and then I only take four of it, right, two-thirds, I take four of it and I offer it outside, I'm going to be potter. Okay? Rav is explaining, okay, everything I said is correct, but Rav is explaining the other side. Right? I'm a Rav. Okay. To the person who subscribes to the idea that a kli doesn't unify, so then, if I have six lugin which I put into a kli, Shiruin La'ayl, because four is significant. Four would be enough for a ram. Kavar B'Layl Mashak Mayim Shoshavi Kerevim Achot Chayev. If I have four and I take three out of there, will you be Chayev Shiruin La'Keves? Chasu Kolshu, okay, period. Okay, I'm sorry, Chasu Kolshu V'Kerevim Achot Pater. And once I take a little bit out of that, so then I would be Pater. Quite frankly, I don't know what Rav is adding to our whole discussion over here, meaning if the Kli doesn't mitzarif, so then it would seem that we would have figured all this on our own. Okay. Rav Ashi Amar Nisach Me'akhtar Lo Yafi. Okay, now here's where we're going to go back. Remember, one of Rav's points to Abaye is, what are you talking about? We don't learn chutz from chutz, so how can you learn a chutz from panim? So Rav Ashi says, well, what did you just do over there? You just compared Nisach and Akhtara, the pouring and the burning. So we're not going to learn out one from the other, right? One is a liquid and the other is a solid, right? One's a revius and the one's a log and the other one is a kezias. So the reason why they don't connect one to another is because simply it's not the same. Lo yalfi rabbanafik abde chutz mechutz lo yalfi aktar me'aktar yalfi. And Rav Ashi says, and so you know what? I'm going to go back to the suggestion we made earlier. Yes, they actually are arguing about, do we learn the Haktarah done outside from the Haktarah done inside? That's more comparable than the, can I learn out the three lugan of water from the Lavona, which is burned on the top of the Mizbech. Avagav dechutz mipnim. Okay, so Rav Ashi says, you know what, I object. I object to the Gemara's point on the bottom of the page. Finishing up to the Mishnah, V'kulin shechasri yibarlu, chisaron dechut shmei chisaron olo shmei chisaron. All right, how about this? We learned in our Mishnah that if I take off a little bit, so that's considered a chisaron, and therefore I'm not going to be liable. How about if I take a little bit after I took it outside already? So, mi amrin kevin denafak ifsilalu, mali chasr mali yasr, odilma, yosei di'isa be'inei, indalesa be'inei lo. How about if I was mechasr, if I took off a little bit after I brought it outside already? It's already disqualified, right. And yet the Torah is gonna slap me with halah b'chutz. So maybe if I diminish it while it's outside already, maybe at that point it doesn't make a difference. Amar Abai, the Gemara is going to try to conclude on this matter. I'm telling you right away, the Gemara won't. Amar Abai Tashma Rav Lazer Pote Achi Yakiv Es Kulam. So Amar Le Rava Bar Rav Chanan Abai Mid Rav Lazer Pashit Mar. What are you going to give me an answer from Rabbi Lazar? The question wasn't for Rabbi Lazar. The question was according to the Chachamim. So Amalei Beferish Mealim Minei Derav Adkan Lo Pliga Rabban Alad Derav Lazar Aladisa Beinei Ala Bichisaron Mo Deluhu. What do you mean? If you're mechaser, if you take away from it, it's no good. Lav Dechaser Bechutz. Now, where did you take away from the shear? Did you take it from the outside? Lo Dechaser Penim. So the Gemara says, no, you took some away from the while still being in the Azara. Tashma b'kulin shechasr v'ikrivim b'chutz pato, lav dechasr b'chutz, lav dechasr p'nim. So again, the Gemara is not sure if after you took it outside of the Beis HaMikdash, outside you took it outside of the Azara, then you diminish from the shear, Gemara is unsure as to whether or not you're going to be slapped with halah b'chutz. Just read up to the Mishnah, hamakriv kachim, Amai v'ika chatzitza. Here we get to the last part of the Mishnah. In the last part of the Mishnah, we discussed. The Mishnah says, if I burn kachim and imurim together outside, I'm going to be chayev. Of course. What else would you have thought? So the Gemara says, well, you might have thought chatzitza. Right? In other words, in order to violate the iser, I have to put the carbon directly on the carbon. Nothing can interpose, nothing can separate between the carbon and the mizbeach. And the Gemara here is entertaining a havamina. It's a strange havamina that if I burn the kachim and the imurim, well, maybe one will interpose, one will serve as a chetzitza for the other. So Amar Shmuel Kishahafchan. So Shmuel says, well, you're sitting there and you're flipping it over. So everything's getting the carbon, getting the mizbeach. Okay. Rav Yochanan Amar Afilu Temeshlo Afchan V'Hamani Rabbi Shimon Eidamar Afilu Halu Lasela Chai. Well, you know, Rabbi Shimon says you don't even need a mizbeach. All you need is a rock. So there's no word. There's no issue of chatzitza. And Rav Amar Min B'Mino Eino Chotzes. And Rav says, he gives us a fundamental answer. What are you talking about? In other words, everything on this mizbeach is carbon. You're asking me about chatzitza? There's no chatzitza. Chatzitza is only when there are dissimilar items. Here it's the same item. There's not going to be any chatzitza over here. Okay, good. Stop over here. Tomorrow, pick it up from the Mishnah.